Hello and welcome to the Project Love podcast. I'm Selina Barker.
And I'm Vicky Pevitt. In these podcasts, we explore what it takes to create a life, relationship and career you love.
And not just one that looks good on the outside, but one that feels good on the inside.
I am here today, huddled into a tiny toddler's teepee.
It's a very intimate setting.
Exactly. There are not many people that I would actually invite to this teepee, but it makes for a great acoustic sound. And also it means I get to snuggle next to you. I am here with the wonderful Victoria Roberts, who, if you have been a listener to the Project Love podcast for some time, will remember her story from Women Who Follow Their Hearts about her journey from being from events, an events manager. Were you an events manager? What do we call you?
Production manager, events manager.
Yeah. And then is now today a body image and intimacy coach and certified sexological body worker.
Well done.
I love that. I can say that. I know exactly. That's why I'm determined to get it into the interview. So I've invited Victoria here today because we did a salon with you back, it was 6 months ago.
October.
And it was an absolute sellout. We had women crammed into that room and it was on deconstructing the female orgasm. And anytime we talk about sex, and in fact, after your interview, about your journey out of one career and into this fantastic career you're into today, we had so many people getting in touch saying, amazing story, but I'm also really interested in actually finding out about working Victoria. There's something about when we talk about sex that there is such a need for it. There's such a craving to have this conversation. So I wanted to get you on today to talk about love, sex, orgasms, all of it, which is actually something I'm not that comfortable talking about. I am now because I was coaching you for a while, so we always had to talk about it in our sessions. But also having done the salon with you, and it's just really been opening my mind up and getting me into a conversation, which I think I was also a little bit resistant and uncomfortable to, as I think we found many women are.
Yeah, and that's a commonplace thing. A lot of women don't feel comfortable about talking about their sexuality, about their relationships, about their bodies. There's an expectancy that we all look and feel great and that we're, you know, conforming to what society thinks we should be or what we get promoted to us. So, and all wrapped in that is, you know, that if you're in a relationship, you're having fantastic sex and life's amazing. If you're not in a relationship, you're having fantastic sex, having one night stands and all this party fun, or, you know, you're getting to do whatever you want, whenever you want. And actually the reality of that is just, that's not the case.
Yeah.
And it's how we unlock that and say to women, you know, this, whatever's going on for you is fine, but actually there's so much more. And let's go on a bit of a journey of self-discovery,
yeah,
and therefore potentially discovery with somebody else to unlock your pleasure potential.
Yeah, and we have to start by being honest, don't we?
Massively. and you know, start of my own journey, for example, I had a bit of a meltdown. I went and did a sexual, spiritual, shamanic healing course. And in that, I realized that I wasn't having a good sexual relationship with myself, that actually I was having quite an aggressive sexual relationship with myself, in that I wasn't sensual. I realized that I'd never touched myself in a really loving, caring, sensual way, that I'd used masturbation as a release tool, as a method to de-stress or, you know, get to sleep. Or just kind of, you know, almost used it a little bit against myself, I think. And that's very commonplace for women. You know, a lot of women, you know, only ever masturbate when they are stressed or they want to sleep. And actually it's changing that process and understanding that whether you do or don't masturbate, because a large proportion of women don't as well,
yeah,
take masturbation off the table. Pretend that that word doesn't exist and go back to a mode of body discovery and self-pleasure.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where we want to be. It's a bit more gentle. There is a room for, you know, for masturbation always, but, you know, not necessarily all the time. And it's kind of like finding that happy balance and what works for you.
So do you mean by kind of that, just when you talk about body discovery, which I love, is you talking about kind of just, and without masturbation involved at first, you mean just like just sensuality, caressing?
Yeah. So for example, one of the things that I always tell my clients to do when I, and you know, and I profess for myself, is go on a pleasure mapping mode, which is, you know, really just spending the time, taking the time to discover your body, you know, so actually take some time out, even if you just sit there, close your eyes and touch your face, like, and just gently sort of,
I want to do it now.
Yeah. Just like gently, like trace the tips of your fingers down your temples, down your jawline. I just really feel how nice that is.
Yeah.
Like, when do you do that?
I know. I was doing it the other day when I was moisturising, and I think I've read somewhere about take the time when you next put moisturiser on to just really do it in a loving, really loving and sort of just caress yourself.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I forget this. I forget how much, not just how much enjoyment I can get from it, but how much I also just need it. And it's that, it is such an important self-love practice to treat your body and that connection with your body with care and love.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Self-pleasure is self-love.
Mm.
We're told from a young age that it's dirty and or that it, you know, it's something that you shouldn't do, and we hide it from parents and, yeah, and all this kind of thing. And actually, it's beautiful and it can really, you know, enhance your sex life and can enhance your daily life. It's like an affirmation, but it's one for the body through feeling. So instead of saying that, you know, I'm going to have a really good day today, or I feel great about myself, this is, I feel great.
Through touch.
Through touch. Mm. I'm really giving a bit of love to my arms right now. And how often do you actually sit there and stroke the bottoms of your feet sort of thing? So when you're putting moisturiser on, it's a really simple place to start of actually paying attention to the body and the bits that you don't like, giving them a little bit of love and just being like, okay, you're maybe not my favorite, I don't my like knees. Those lumps and bumps, but actually my thighs, but actually, you know, yeah, I
loving
can feel
your imperfections,
you.
Yeah. And embrace it. So actually, it's not even, that's why I just think, as soon as we say, okay, I'm gonna talk from my perspective, as soon as we talk about sex, I'm just like, it's this thing and it's about arousal and it's about orgasm. But so much of what you talk about is just that sensual, caressing, loving, intimate relationship with your body and with yourself. That's like, we're not even going close to orgasm and arousal and any actual sexual feelings. It's sensual feelings, isn't it? And just having that. Still, I'm very much on this journey. That's why you're the expert. I'm the one asking the questions. But it's something that I just...
There's so much pleasure to be had throughout the whole body, that, you know, just through penetration isn't just where we need to go, for men and for women. So if you're somebody with a partner, actually doing a full body exploration can really turn out some fascinating results, because I can guarantee, if you've never done it and we moisturize as women, for example, a man's never going to have spent much time, you know, stroking the underside of his rib cage or the back of his arm delicately. You know, the most amount of touching he's probably done is when he's been putting sun cream on, you know, it's kind of,
and he's like, ooh.
Yeah. So actually that kind of just discovery, and I'm not just talking sensual touch, you know, you can explore with nipping and slapping and pinching or bits of velvet or a feather.
Mm.
You know, there's lots of things that you can, you know, introduce when you're on your own and with a partner to really explore and kind of work out, you know, a few new delicacies, if you like.
It's, oh, I love that, a few new delicacies. And I have to bring it up, but you are the woman that is now notorious for having had an orgasm through her ear. So it's worth trying out these areas, because you just never know.
You just never know. And I actually hadn't been with my my partner that long at the time. And, you know, we are now on a very exciting journey together, heading to the land down under.
Are you talking about Australia or the other land? Just to clarify.
Just to clarify, Australia one means. But yes, we did the body exploration, and yes, that resulted in a rather fabulous experience of having an orgasm through my ear, which please feel free to send me a note and I will go into in more detail if you want to hear any more about it. But it's definitely worthwhile because I did not know, for example, and I had spent 2 years really getting to know myself. And I had no idea that that was going to be a thing for me because it never had been in the past. It'd actually been a little bit irritating when somebody nibbled my ear. Even though for a lot of people it is an erogenous zone. My neck
really?
Definitely.
So it wasn't even like, because I know people have like an ear thing.
Yeah,
so no. You weren't even one of those people.
I was definitely not an ear person. Definitely not an ear person. But because of the way that we felt about each other and the circumstances that we were in, it just worked and it was just incredible. You know, so I have spent, you know, it's not just going to produce results automatically of get home and tell the boyfriend to nibble on the ear, for example.
Yeah.
But it's about going through a journey and really relaxing into it and just really feeling what's happening. Intimate situation, trying to turn off the mind is one of the most important things that you can do. That worrying about the kids or worrying about the washing or stressing about work or sending the in-laws flowers or whatever, trying to let go of that. And actually one of the ways to do that is to actually really focus on what you're experiencing in terms of touch. So really feeling what it feels like to have your nipple traced by a finger, or what it feels like to have a penis inserting into you. Really actually notice what that feels like. Because you know what it feels like in your mind, but actually to really feel and then try to formulate that and be like, actually that, you know, it feels soft, it feels gentle, or different sensations that come up. For some people, it's colours. It could be anything, you know. Start to really pay attention and you'll start to notice how those sensations then ripple through your body, because you're not being overtaken by the mind and what you think you should be feeling.
Yeah, exactly. Because I think so much of it, do you find that a lot of it, we are guided by what we see in films? And I mean, I'm not into porn, but I assume people that are into porn, what they see in porn, of like trying to recreate that. So it's more about positions and doing things that they've seen rather than going through just what feels good and exploring that.
Most definitely. You know, the porn industry has got a lot to answer for in that realm, as do films and, you know, and everything that's promoted for us. And we're not taught this, you know. This is a massive failing for me in the education system. Okay, I'm not saying that we should be teaching kids exactly, you know, positions to have sex in and whatnot, but an understanding of how your body works, I think, is essential. Because then when, you know, your first encounter, whether it be with, you know, heterosexually or with same sex, or if you're transgender, whatever that may be,
yeah,
your sexual encounters, you don't really know yourself because you don't necessarily know your own body. And then you're expecting to have this amazing experience with somebody who also doesn't know themselves, let alone knows your body. Yeah. And if they've got a different body, they've got even less of a clue.
Yeah.
So,
or if they're used to someone else's body.
Yeah.
When people come out of a relationship with someone that, you know, certain things turn them on and they've been with them for years, and they go into a relationship with someone else and they're just like using the same old tools or techniques.
Yeah.
This is different body.
And this is where our communication lets us down, because, you know, it's not something that we talk about, and certainly not, you know, the fear of communicating to a partner that you don't like what they're doing, it is so great that people suffer it for years.
Yeah.
And actually it's a terrible thing to do, because ultimately it's never going to end well. And actually having the confidence to be able to, you know, express to a partner what you like or what you don't like. And that's why I'd say to anybody again, the pleasure mapping thing with a partner is brilliant, because you get to learn pretty quickly what you do and don't like. So actually something that you may think's amazing, sort of that gentle stroke down the side of your ribs, actually your partner might hate, because they might find it really ticklish.
Yeah.
But will suffer it because you like it, therefore you do it to them.
Yeah.
You know, so that being able to communicate and get to know each other and getting to know yourself so that you can practice. And a great way to practice this is through something called a bossy massage. So, you know, if you're with a partner, and this can be with somebody new, getting used to saying, can you do this? Can you do that? I'd like this. So, you know, they might be rubbing your shoulders. Could you apply a bit more pressure, please? yes, no problem. Actually, can, and you lay it out as this is a bossy massage. Mm. So I'm going to tell you what we do in this massage.
So good.
It's very gentle. It's very subtle. It's not sexual, but it starts, it sets the scene for that dialogue.
Yeah.
And then naturally, more often than not, massages, you know, when it's with couples and there might be a bit of oil, can turn into something a little bit more sexy. And then that language can continue. You know, you can lay into that and be a little bit more like, oh, well, should we try, you know.
Oh my God, you're so good at this. Obviously, that's why it's your job now.
But it's just a good way because, you know, expressing our feelings as men and women is very, very challenging.
Yeah.
And it's a gentle way to maneuver within that. And these are all techniques that I've learned through my practice of sexological bodywork. And it's a great way. It's just about being able to understand your body and being able to communicate and express yourself.
What I love about hearing you talk about this is that you immediately, the way you talk about it comes from such a healthy place that's about pleasure and experimenting and exploring. And I think that's what's so exciting and refreshing, because I think I'm so used to sex being talked about just in a different way. There's definitely shame involved. It's definitely just a bit discomfort around it, or just not knowing what, I don't know. I'm trying to articulate it, but I know you'll be a lot better at being able to talk about, because I know you've been having these conversations the past few years, focus groups and workshops and things. What have you heard keeps coming back from people, you know, men and women, about why they find it uncomfortable to talk about sex, why they find it embarrassing?
Yeah, so my journey started when I was obviously doing the program with you, and I went off to South America with a focus group that I'd written for the first time and trialed out on you, and then trialed out with
a career coaching program.
I wasn't teaching, wasn't coaching on sex at the time, and it was the launch of my new career, and I took it away with me, and I interviewed hundreds of women along the way and numerous men, and have continued to do similar sort of work since. But throughout the workshops that I run, from working with individual clients, the thing that comes up over and over again is it's still seen as very taboo.
Yes.
Now, we are in a landscape where there is a lot more stuff out there. You know, there's a lot of great people doing some amazing work. And it is a lot more vocalized, you know, so even sort of the big guns like The Guardian do stuff regularly, The Daily Mail, The Sun, and not in the sort of CD page three way. They are trying to kind of get messages out there more and more. However, it's not where people expect it to be. And also opening up that conversation is still quite taboo, because actually it stems from our education system. It stems from the way that we've been brought up.
Yeah.
And, you know, the way that it's still, it's not cool to be a, you know, if you go out and do something and you're a slag or you're this, it's like the way that we view sex from a young age dictates then actually what happens throughout our lifetimes.
Yeah.
And it's a crying shame. And that's a big bit that comes up time and time again. But also the other key thing is not knowing how to communicate. Is not knowing how to express how people feel sexually. So not being able to express to a partner what they want or how they want it, or how to go about finding out what they want and how they want it.
I think I find, is it embarrassment or just not knowing how to describe all my feminine parts.
Yeah.
What to call it? Or just the different bits. Do you know what I mean? It's just like...
Most definitely. And that's commonplace. A lot of women don't even know how they're put together. They don't how big their clitoris is.
Well, this came out in the salon that we did with you when Victoria brought a diagram, and it was, they were just, I mean, it was incredible. Name a few of the parts of the female anatomy, sexual anatomy, that are the most surprising facts.
So that
we have a ball sack.
So our genitals are made up exactly the same as male genitals. So penis and vulva are made of the same tissue skins. But you don't necessarily realize them. So our clitoris is essentially our erectile tissue, so our penis.
Yeah.
Our clitoral hood, that is our foreskin.
Yeah.
It's exact, you know, it's exactly the same makeup and tissues in some ways. Our clitoris is not just the little nibbly bit at the end that every bit that you can see and feel. It's actually, you know, a huge shape which runs right underneath the labia, and hiding under there are vestibular bulbs. And when you get aroused, these engorge, and that's when the body starts to become ready for sex. And this is stuff that most people don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a high proportion of women in the UK that don't know that their urethra is actually inside them. They think that their urethra is in and around their clitoris somewhere, so that they're actually urinating from the same places where their clitoris is. You know, and that's, you know, that's actually a bit of a crying shame, because actually if you don't know how you're put together, and then how do you explore? Because actually, you know, people aren't aware that you can get great pleasure from your labia or your perineum, for example, in between the vaginal opening and the anus. That's just not even a thing for men or for women, you know, unless maybe you're in a same-sex relationship. And there's all these elements that actually, once you understand how your body's put together, you know, the fact that, you know, your nipples sit on the same nerve line as your clitoris, so that
really,
that, you know, we're all connected. You know, we've got a series of sphincters that run throughout the body from anus to the eyes. So actually, you know, one reaction. So if it all triggers.
Oh my God, that's just so cool.
Yeah. So there's lots out there that, you know, that we don't know, and actually, if we try and discover a little bit, we can really start to understand, you know, the whole spectrum in which we've got to play in, and it's huge. The capacity for the body's potential for pleasure and orgasmicity is just phenomenal.
Yeah. And we'll get onto that in a moment. I want to talk about the orgasm a little bit more. But one of the things as well, and this also came up in the salon that we did with you, was how different female genitalia looks, and how we've got this idea that it's supposed to be this perfect, almost prepubescent little cushion. And actually, when you look at the different men, it's great. You showed us a whole spectrum of different vaginas, basically. Well, not yeah,
it was
exactly.
the wall of vagina. Please go and look it up, for those of you listening. It's fascinating. For anyone that's got any doubt about their lady bits, please go and take a look, because there's a lot of stigma around how your genitals should look,
and it's
frightening. And reconstructive surgery is on the rise, shockingly, throughout the Western world. And you know, it's, when you look at the wall of vagina, there's you know, there's women with big outer lips, big inner lips. They're all different shapes and sizes, and
different colors, different
textures. You know, none of them look the same, and they're all, it's all actually really quite beautiful. And when I first saw it, it looks like you know, molds of flowers.
It's
amazing, but it's a bit of reassurance that we're not all that immaculately, neatly tucked in, sort of very almost childlike vaginas that we've seen porn and that we've grown up with. That's not how the majority of women are made.
Yeah, and that must have a huge impact, I think, on how relaxed or unrelaxed people feel when they're having sex.
A lot of women are very nervous about that area. You know, their genitals are almost like a safely guarded secret. So actually, as well, they miss out on a huge pleasure part, because, you know, they don't want to be explored down there.
Yeah, so don't hang around there.
Don't get your head down there, because it's not pretty.
Yeah. But
because they're then putting that out, actually, is something that doesn't necessarily happen for them. And it really is a shame, because it's a stigma that's been put on us by society. And actually, if we open that up and you know, let women understand that everybody is different, and actually there's very few, you know, people that are going to be going down there that are then going to be like, "Whoa, did you, you know, that didn't look great." Because actually, once you get to that stage, most people are like the cat that's got the cream. They're like, "Oh, this is amazing.
I'm down here."
Yeah, and it's a great experience for them. You know,
but also men are, well, I say, I'm speaking from someone who's heterosexual, but you know, regardless of men or women who are going down there, have seen other women.
Yeah.
So then they know that they don't all look like these perfect sort of, you know, prepubescent rosebud.
Yeah.
lady bits. They know that, you know, they're the ones that know what it looks like because presumably they've been with other people.
Yeah, but a lot of, you know, unless you've been in a same-sex relationship, a lot of other women
wear. Exactly.
And a lot of women don't know what their genitals look like because they've never looked at them.
Mm.
You know, and I would encourage every person listening to this to sit with a mirror and take a look, because actually, and understand where your bits are. I mean, I can send some supporting material if people want to look, or there's some brilliant diagrams online if you know, put vulva anatomy, not vagina, because it's the vagina canal is just one part of the vulva as a whole, and you can start to explore and see what bits are what, and it's a really interesting exercise. And you know, you can start to explore different feelings and sensations and understand what you can and can't feel, because there is a lot of lack of sensation in that area simply due to the lack of touch in that area, you know, because it's very clitoral focused or it's very vaginal focused.
Let's talk about that, because you told me some fascinating facts about orgasms and where women get them, being that only 20% of women get vaginal orgasms.
Yeah, and that figure sort of fluctuates all the time. And
let's say roughly.
We'll say roughly.
But basically, not everyone. But in fact, it's rare-ish to have an orgasm through your vagina.
Solely through the vagina.
Yeah.
And you're very fortunate if that's the case. And, you know, that's not good news in terms of where men's egos sit often, and they're kind of, oh, well, that's never happened to me. But, you know, women are very good at faking it, and we do it a lot, because actually what will happen is, you've got to think of it this way. You start masturbating when you're a teenager, let's say, and girls start masturbating by playing with their clitoris.
Mm.
That's how girls masturbate. You may upgrade to a rabbit and a dildo, but that's, again, only a small percentage of the population. Men masturbate by using their hands. So it's very much, you know, a vagina replica, if you like. So then when men and women come together, actually the act of sex and what they deem is that there may be a little bit of, you know, probably general, a bit of hand rubbing, or, you know, a little bit of going down potentially. But that's the main act of sex, is then actually you're moving into penis vagina sex.
Yeah.
So that's actually then not creating the most amount of pleasure and orgasms for women, because actually that's not an area that the majority of women have explored, therefore stimulated. And it's through this lack of stimulation that's caused a desensitization. So actually, if you can then spend some time resensitizing your G-crest or different parts of the vulva, the internal workings of the vagina, then actually you can really start to open up your orgasmic pleasure. And that can be something you can do on your own. It's something you can explore with a partner. But it is, again, about a little bit of education. And, you know, I was having this conversation the other day about, you know, foreplay and whether it was the right word. And it's not a term that I really agree with, because kissing and touching and licking and kissing and, you know, going down on each other, why should that just be limited to what happens before the main event?
Yeah.
You know, the penis vagina penetration in a heterosexual relationship, for example. You know, because actually there's for women in particular, they're some of the best bits, and it's where the majority of women achieve climax, if they're fortunate enough to achieve climax, that is. You know, so actually if you can intersperse those elements within your, you know, sexual activity in your intimate moments, then there is more chance that you're going to relax more, you're going to experience more orgasms throughout, so that when you kind of go back to the penetration, actually the G-crest is going to be more stimulated and there's more potential to have a vaginal orgasm. Because it's one of those things where, you know, you relax into it, you get more, you know, the body relaxes, you get more in tune with your senses, and the more that happens and you get resensitized, there's more potential.
I just feel like we're operating to such a kind of traditional, structured idea of what is involved in sex. It's like the foreplay, and then there's the orgasm, and then there's the positions, and then it's like, and it's just like, we're not taking the time to actually explore and experiment what gives us pleasure in the way you're talking about. It's just like, no, it's like we haven't really questioned it. It's like, this is how it's done. And it doesn't really work for me. So there must be a problem in me. So I'll just fake it.
Yeah. And we are so driven by the need and the desire and the expectation to have an orgasm, you know, and again, that's largely down to porn. You know, boys grow up watching porn that is, you know, go at it, women orgasms, they scream and they squirt and everything goes everywhere. And in reality, that just isn't what happens in real life. And there's such then an amount of pressure for a woman to have an orgasm that it becomes such a thing that actually it's almost never going to happen anyway, because it's such a pressure. So actually, if you can take orgasm out of the equation and just be about the pleasure and really, you know, appreciate and just enjoy what's happening, then actually the more likely are you to have an orgasm.
Yeah.
Because it's not a thing. And that's what we're so driven by, you know, we come together. And it comes from, you know, back to primal days in terms of, you know, having sex to mate. But at the end of the day, females have body parts that are purely there for pleasure.
Yeah.
There is no other reason for them. They don't serve any other purpose. So we are not just built to have babies.
Yeah.
We're not just built to have penetrative sex purely to reproduce. Mm. That's not the way that we're built. And it's understanding that, you know, having an orgasm and an ejaculation for a man, for example, isn't just the end goal. Actually, there's so much more that we can unlock around it. And, you know, there's also some really amazing full body experiences that you can experience with that, in terms of really getting into breathing and body sensations and touch. You can really start to open up the doors into sort of what they do out in the jungle, and, you know, sort of it's almost third dimensional, and, you know, through hypertrophic breathing and touching and stimulating body parts, you can create something that's quite out of body, or can be very color focused, and, you know, allows you to access a different part of the brain, you know, through opening different synapses. It's fascinating.
Do you mean like really getting like properly trippy out of your mind into some kind of orgasmic other dimension?
Yeah.
You've experienced that, haven't you?
Yeah. There's the potential.
She's
for
been
that.
There.
Yeah. And interestingly enough, not with anybody else and not with genital touch.
Really?
Yeah. It was while I was training and we were learning how to unlock the body, and it was incredible.
So through touch and
breathing.
Oh my god.
Yeah, so and there's some breathing patterns that I can you know, there's definitely some that I can share in the future.
Victoria Roberts, when are you going to start doing your courses? Online courses. I want to do them all. I want the breathing transcendental mind-blowing orgasm, which is touch and breathing.
You've been listening to the Project Love podcast. We really hope you enjoy this episode. And if you did, then come and subscribe on iTunes, and we'll deliver each new episode straight to your device. And we would love it if you would leave us a review to help us spread the love far and wide. And if you can't think of anything to write, then just tap 5 stars and say, best podcast ever.